The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Valley, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. For the third time in 2 years, parts of the federal government are shut down.
Budget Chief Mick Mulvaney ordering the heads of 15 cabinet-level departments and dozens of agencies to shut down at midnight after congressional leaders failed to strike a deal that includes funding for the border wall. While talks are expected to continue, no votes are scheduled. The full effect of the shutdown won't be felt until next Wednesday because of the weekend and the extended Christmas break.
That is Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg continues to rest up in a New York hospital following surgery yesterday to remove two malignant growths in her left lung. The third time the Supreme Court's oldest justice has been treated for cancer, and her second stay at a hospital in 2 months. Worries over Ginsburg's health have been a constant of sorts for nearly 10 years and for liberals, especially in the last 2 years. This is SRN News.
It's the kid in grade school who paints her face blue and white before every home game.
It's the accountants and salesmen who give up their Friday evenings to referee.
It's the cashier at the corner convenience store who wears school colors on every game day.
What makes high school sports here in Minnesota so special?
They do. You do.
We all do.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
This soldier greeting is brought to you by Schaefer Archery in Burnsville, servicing all your archery needs.
Hi, this is PFC Kaylee Dobratz from Columbus, Minnesota. And I just want to say happy holidays to my family and my boyfriend, Miguel.
Schaefer Archery is proud to salute our soldiers, serving to keep us safe this holiday. Schaefer Archery is your local archery expert, with great deals on bows from Matthews, Hoyt, and PSE. They have the perfect gift for the bow hunter in your life. Stop in and talk to the experts or check them out at SchaeferArchery.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think, too, until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife, so I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-981-0472. That's 1-800-981-0472. 1-800-981-0472.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, Business 1440. It's good stuff, Andrew. Good Christmas music with your kind of flavor. Excellent. 651-289-4477. That's interesting. Listener Frank tweets at me, can we really afford to assume journalists make stuff up in reference to my comment about the story that Trump is talking about firing Powell? Let's remember, the administration of any White House or of any governor's mansion, as Governor-elect Walz is about to find out in a couple week time, includes people who don't share every last view that you have. So, my guess is there are people in the Trump White House who go out and tell reporters things that that tell reporters things that are self-serving. They're not, in fact, things that that really reflect a considered opinion. Okay, do we think the president contacted his White House counsel to say, what are the cases in which I can fire a Federal Reserve president, a Federal Reserve chair? No, I don't think so. Did he have somebody draft a memo dismissing Chairman Powell? No. Because if they'd done that, that sure as heck would have been reported. Four people said he talked about it in the room. Is that true? Probably so. Good reporter, probably made sure they had two or three people. But the two or three people gave them or four people who gave that person that information probably said something to the effect of, yeah, he doesn't like him. He'd like to get rid of him. He expressed his displeasure. He mentioned the idea that he wishes he could fire him. That doesn't mean he's going to fire him, because, honest to goodness, he can't. And most of the articles, even the Bloomberg article, said, well, they can't do that. But then they go out and get someone to engage in rampant speculation. Oh, the financial markets would just have a meltdown if he was to fire Powell. It's like, well, they would have a meltdown, because Trump would be doing something that's not only unprecedented, but I believe is actually against the law. So, of course, they would have a meltdown. Why is that even under consideration? Of course they would. That's a non-story. So I think there's less to that story than meets the eye, but I think in the desire to keep turning up the pressure and so on this administration, I think that's a story that had an ulterior motive. That wasn't just simply all the news that fits, or whatever it is that Bloomberg uses as its motto. I have no idea what that is. So, anyway, 651-289-4477, the number to call, questions and comments. What would be wrong with having 8 live meetings? I just don't think it would be that large. Let's summarize what we talked about in the last hour and try to put a bow on this. We'll go on. We're not going to just talk about the Fed for another hour. Okay? It's not, to me the market reaction to this was an overreaction. There was no reason to believe that the Fed would not raise rates in December. They had given every indication they were going to do so. They had also given every indication that they wanted a change in the policy communicating system. And so they acted on it. And part of the act on it was to say, we're going to have a press conference after every meeting. We're not going to leave you just twisting in the wind there without giving you, they didn't pull back the statement of economic projections, but they're not going to double the number of times they make the projection. Honest to goodness, there isn't enough that changes within a quarter to cause you to do two different forecasts. I know there are now casters that are incorporating every last little bit of information to try to update their number for current quarter GDP or something, or current quarter inflation or so on. Yes, okay, there are things you can use to do that. That's fine, but I don't think I think for the most part, those are captured in sort of the market in the ways of the blue chip consensus on the bigger numbers, on the smaller numbers, like the monthly unemployment rate. I understand it's a big number, but there's 12 of them, so you're really, and you're working with more micro-oriented data. There are plenty of people out there who use ADP and the unemployment insurance numbers and Challenger Gray layoff numbers to create a number for that. You don't need the wisdom. My air quotes are waggling up here. You don't need the wisdom of the market to tell you, in fact, to tell you what's happening from within every 6 to 8 weeks at the time they meet, 8 times a year. So that's going to be perhaps about every 7 weeks. You don't need that. Indeed, I would say if the SEP releases were cut to 2 times a year, that'd be perfectly fine by me. But I think it's an interesting insight into what the governors and presidents are thinking that I like having that. I think that was a useful part of the communication policy. But remember what was determined, right? The Federal Reserve lowered the rate to zero. We're going to talk a little bit more about this in a moment, but they lowered the rate to zero, and they were determined to leave it there for some indefinite length of time, which ended up being almost 7 years. So how, if they weren't going to change the Fed funds rate, how was it that they were going to communicate what they thought the what monetary policy would be going forward, except by having these communication strategies? That is why Bernanke was out there. Bernanke and then Yellen went to the microphone those 4 times to say, since we're not going to change rates, since a price isn't going to change to tell you what we're thinking, we're just going to come sit at this table and tell you. We're going to give you guidance that rate increases are coming or that rate increases are not coming. Okay, the language before it said, you know, gradual further rate increases are likely was no rate increases are anticipated for an indefinite period of time or for a, and you'll remember there was a big fight over taking out the word indefinite and eventually making it near future and then eventually three years ago starting the rate increases. So that the communication strategy was born out of the fact that they couldn't use a change in the interest rate to communicate what was happening, and they only had 3 times where they could come out and say something regarding quantitative, 4 times where they could come out and say something about quantitative easing, which takes me to the next point. They don't want to communicate about quantitative easing. Indeed, there's a clip. Let me go find the transcript. I didn't have anybody pull this out because I was a little concerned about what would happen here. Let me. I'm scrolling back. Here we go. Michael McKee from Bloomberg, who you hear here on Business 1440 from time to time if you listen to us during the week. Mike McKee says talked about balance sheet reduction, quantitative tightening. How much additional tightening do you think has come from that? We know in the markets that the cost of credit rising, commercial paper, repo rates, the TED spread widening. Do you see any concerns about the availability or the price of credit that could slow markets? And if in 2019 we see the economy start to slow, would you, if you don't adjust the balance sheet, be risking too much tightening? Now, Don on Twitter asked me about the very same question that Michael McKee asked Jay Powell on Wednesday. So it's worth me telling you, what did Powell say? He says, well, we do watch all of that, but the amount of runoff that we've had so far is pretty small. Indeed, the runoff has been about 8 or 9% of the balance sheet. Most of that reducing excess reserves. Excess reserves has fallen by a much bigger fraction. So if you think about the size of the total balance sheet's come down by 9%. But since excess reserves are about half that balance sheet, you can do the math, the decrease in excess reserves is in the 16 to 18% range. So if you just run quantitative easing models in reverse, you'd get a pretty small adjustment in economic growth and real outcomes. He says that in the second sentence. And this was, by the way, the sentence that I was going to have Andrew try to pull, but it's in the middle of this very long press conference and it's too much work to go find it. And we didn't have enough time. So we don't think things are happening in the short run at the short end are driven by many other factors other than the balance sheet runoff. So what he's saying is, in fact, he didn't believe that the Fed doesn't believe quantitative tightening is having much effect, but he says that on the basis of, I think, pretty solid evidence. So my question back to all of you who are upset that, well, he didn't talk about quantitative tightening. He basically said it's still on autopilot. And that word, he uses it later, autopilot, makes the market go cuckoo. You're not going to slow that down. You're decreasing the amount of liquidity in the market. This is terrible. What? The question finally gets asked first on Friday, yesterday, by John Williams, the president of the New York Federal Reserve, and then gets amplified by John Taylor, former chair of the Council of Economic Advisors for George W. Bush, and also a former Undersecretary of the Treasury. How many of you believe that quantitative easing lowered interest rates by a substantial amount? How many of us believe that that was true? The people who are complaining that quantitative tightening is causing something awful are basically saying quantitative easing was extraordinarily effective and made the markets grow. Do you believe that to be true? As Taylor pointed out on Bloomberg yesterday, here, and I think you could have heard it here on the station, that wasn't the case. Quantitative easing didn't have a whole lot of impact on financial conditions. And so what Powell is saying, let me read that again. If you just run the quantitative easing models in reverse, you would get a pretty small adjustment in economic growth and real outcomes. In other words, quantitative easing didn't have a big effect on real GDP going up, so we don't believe it's going to have a big effect on GDP going in reverse. So if you're going to argue that quantitative tightening is not being taken into account, his answer is, it is. It's just not that big a deal. We'll be back after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
So you've been exploring solutions for your hair loss. You've seen ads from the national chains. You've researched the alternative products that cost a fortune, but there seem to be no guarantees. So here's good news for you. This is Dennis Prager. Go to IneedMoreHair.com and see what their hair transplant specialists are doing for men and women like you. The consultations are free. Their doctors have given patients in Hollywood and worldwide a full head of hair. They can do the same for you. You'll see a more confident reflection of yourself. In fact, they guarantee your results in writing, and their prices are some of the best in the business, as low as $3 per graft. So stop searching and go to IneedMoreHair.com. You have nothing to lose. Call their office in Eagan for your free consultation. IneedMoreHair.com. Experience you can trust, prices you can afford. Get the permanent solution to your hair loss at IneedMoreHair.com.
Hi, this is Lee with the Kingdom Builders Roofing. The Lord's blessings are around us all the time. Look for them, enjoy them, share them, share Him. May we also exhort and encourage one another to be listed as good and faithful servants. I really appreciate the guys that I work with, and I'm very confident, especially in the sales guys, Tim and Matt. When they're in somebody's house, they're going to treat them like I would treat a customer, which is with sincerity and gentleness and caring. We would like you to come away from a meeting with us knowing that regardless of where our relationship goes, you are confident that we have your best interests at heart.
This is Matthew with the Kingdom Builders. We strive to have our standard be God's standard. And we're here to reaffirm something we've always stood for. We're not salespeople. We're just great roofers.
Give us a call at 612-900-9166 or look us up at thekingdombuilders.net.
This is David Davenport of the Hoover Institution for townhall.com. Politicians never learn. They win an election and overplay their so-called mandate with sweeping policy proposals. Senator Bernie Sanders wants the Democratic House to pass Medicare for All, free college tuition, and a $15 minimum wage. Not to be outdone, the new socialist member, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, wants a Green New Deal remaking the American economy. In California, the Democrats seek universal early childhood education, Medi-Cal for illegal immigrants, and a free year of community college. President Bill Clinton thought he had a mandate and sought major health care reform in vain. President George W. Bush said he had earned political capital and tried to spend it on Social Security reform. That didn't work either. Just because you win an election does not mean the people want all your crazy ideas and spending. I'm David Davenport.
The Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy, impacting policy decisions today. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, Business 1440. So let's explain what's happening here to you as we make a forecast for 2019, as we start down that pathway. Probably next week's show, we're going to do more of an interview-based show. I'm trying to line up a couple guests to join me on the show next week. One of them, hopefully, is my colleague who can give us a good view of what's happening with Brexit, and then also an old favorite, and he's already confirmed, so I can mention next week. Phil Kirpin returns to the King Banyan Show, this time talking about the subsidization of renewable energy sources. I believe in all above energy. I want all those things to happen, but I'm not sure the subsidization of these things makes a lot of sense. And indeed, I'm very interested in connecting those thoughts to what I'm talking about today. All of the expansion of credit that's happened through QE1 through QE4, okay, through all of that, what happened was, of course, we encouraged people to go into risk assets. These have included things called CLOs, now called collateralized loan obligations, which are a kissing cousin of the CDOs that were marketed before the Great Recession in 2005, 2006, 2007. And we had CDO squareds and CDO cubes, all of these financial derivative products that frankly, when I was a young economist in training, and I took courses in finance, we never heard of these things. These were all kind of new instruments that were created by people who were much better at financial engineering, who the computers made them more clever, but they created things that had a lot of risk. Have you noticed the one thing that's happened along with the rise in interest rates? Have you noticed the one price that has changed and in which direction it's changed? It's the price of oil, and it's going in the opposite direction. Why do you suppose that is? Because all of a sudden, the price of credit rising means that those folks who invested at very low interest rates into shale fields now have to pay more to finance or to service the debt that they took on in the drilling. And so now oil prices have dropped dramatically, and to the point where OPEC is trying to raise prices. Trust me, I love the fact that many of the shale operators are saying we can make money at $35 oil. That's fantastic. Pour it on. Okay, it's holiday weekend, and the price of oil, at least here, in the price of a gallon of gas here in St. Cloud is hovering right around $2.03. All right, proven me wrong. I was pretty sure that the dip we saw 3 weeks ago would be temporary, that the OPEC would figure things out, and this happened. And I'm like, why is the price still going down? Well, then it dawns on me. All of those loans that were taken out with floating rate instruments by the drillers, by the field developers, have in fact spun around and turned to pumping it at whatever rate they can get because they need to pay off their loans. Because they don't want to be caught. They don't want to be caught having the price of debt service going up rapidly on what seems like to be pretty thin profit margins that they already have. Ones that might go lower if it turns out OPEC doesn't get its act together and move oil prices higher. I thought they would, but it's beginning to look like they won't. Compare what's happening here to what's happening in Europe, and I think this is where the concern about what's happened with Powell and the Fed is really beginning to bite. As I was talking to this group on Wednesday, and my thanks again to those listeners of this show who were there on Wednesday. It was a great group and great feedback. My thanks to Jack Thompson for inviting me to speak to the group. I just had a fantastic time with it. The questions were fabulous. But I thought to myself, but as I pointed out, there are risks all around Europe. I'm not even talking about Brexit today. I don't need to. I'll talk a little bit about it next week if we can get my colleague Rich to join us. We'll talk about it next week. We're planning to take a group of about 20 or so students on a trip through England and Ireland, Scotland, Northern Ireland, through the entire area. We'll miss Wales, unfortunately, but otherwise we'll catch every corner of the country on a 11-day trip in March. We're hoping that we'll have some more clarity on that, but we'll talk about that then. Set that aside. You've got the issue of Italian banks. They're a concern to me. You've got the issue of the yellow vests and the fact that the French debt is, you know, French bond issuance has to go up now because Macron needs to buy off the rioters in the yellow vests. In Germany, you have a change in government coming, or at least in the leadership of the current government. We haven't even started to flesh that out. And then this week, China had its economic working group together to do its 2019 plans, and it's planning for massive tax cuts to try to stem a slowing economic growth. Yes, I've started reading the South China Morning Post, and I've put up a few pieces for you on the Twitter feed at @KBRS, talk about what's happening there. But in essence, they believe that they need additional stimulus. The ECB announced this past week, this is from a piece written by the estimable Christopher Whalen, at the Institutional Risk Analyst. The European Central Bank announced that it's ending QE. It's not going to buy additional risk assets to its balance sheet, but neither is it going to run off. Well, remember, the Fed didn't go straight from QE4 to QT. It spent some period of time reinvesting maturing assets, maturing debt back into the market at the same rate. And that looks like it will continue for the ECB for the foreseeable future. But then Whalen writes, the list of banks in Europe that are effectively insolvent is long and growing, in part because of the EU banking system is not particularly profitable. Strong banks are profitable banks. Profits allow you to build capital and deposits and fund credit losses. For the banks of Europe, and particularly nations like Italy, far too often there is little or no real profitability. This leads banks to hide credit losses and asset quality problems. We were amused to read that Qatar is considering increasing its stake in Deutsche Bank, as the newspaper Handelsblatt reported on last Sunday. This brings back memories of a decade ago when Korea Development Bank was touted to be looking to acquire Lehman Brothers. course, a decade ago, Lehman Brothers became at least illiquid and probably was insolvent. When DB needed what DB
be 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 Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.